hand. Hey, hug somebody's neck, shake their hand, give them a high five, tell them hello, glad to see you in the house today. I got to be honest with you, I didn't want to quit worshiping right there. Come on, y'all. So good, yeah, good stuff. So welcome, man. Glad you're here today. Thanks for coming and choosing to worship with us. We're going preaching through the book of Ephesians. So if you got your Bible, you got your phone, your iPad, whatever kind of, however way you read the Bible, get your Bible and turn with us to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 7 through 10 today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. We'll read that scripture and then we'll pray and try to unpack this and see what the Lord would say to us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10 says this: In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. In Him we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of our sins according to His grace. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us today. Holy Spirit, you know every person that's in this place. You know every circumstance they're facing. You know every situation that they're trying to walk through. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and speak. I ask you to come and move. Holy Spirit, have your freedom today. Have freedom to speak your will, to speak your word. Speak to us, challenge us, encourage us, convict us. Do what only you can do. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, in and through Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed. In and through Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed. 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 That is the word that we're going to hang our hat on today. That is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what does it really mean to be redeemed? What does redemption mean to you and I as sons and daughters of Almighty God? Redeemed. First thing I want to tell you is this, that you and I were created by God. We were created by God. God has had His hands on you and I. You are the perfect you. He made you the way that He made you. And I understand that we've talked about that a whole lot, it seems like, lately. But the reason that we must continue to talk about it is because our world seems to be confused right now on who the Creator is and with the will of the Creator. How many of you know God is God and God does not make mistakes? And God made you and God knew you, and before you were in your mother's womb, God had plans for you, plans to prosper you, and plans not to harm you. I just want you to know that you're created by God, and God doesn't make mistakes. I don't care what mistakes you've made. I don't care if you've been through divorce, bankruptcy. It doesn't matter what anybody else has said about you. I'm telling you, according to the word, you're created by God, and God loves you. You're the apple of God's eye. It's important that you know that you're created by God and that God doesn't make mistakes, because I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, if you're a male, God made you a male and God knew what He was doing. God gave you parts and God gave you DNA to prove that you were a male. If God made you a female, you are a female and you are designed that way by Almighty God. God has a plan for you and I. We are created in the image of God. We're created in the image of God, and we're created for God's purposes. God created you. God created you, Doc. God created you, Horn. God created you, Lori. He knew what He was doing. He created you and me, and He created us for His purposes. Life is more than a 40-hour work week. Life is more than a reputation of being a cowboy. Life is more than what we do. God created us for His purposes to bring Him glory in everyday life. We're created in the image of God. And we're created for God's purposes. God had these great and mighty plans. But can I tell you something? You and I were born into this old world, into this old fallen world, into this old sinful world, into this old jacked up world. We were born into this world. And you know what you and I did? Rather than choose God's way and rather than choose the purposes of God, you and I, in our selfishness, we chose sin and unrighteousness. We chose sin. I know that's hard. I know y'all got quiet on me right then. I know you got quiet on me because we don't like to admit our faults, and we don't like to admit that we've made mistakes, and we don't like to admit that we're sinners. But innately, we within ourselves, we are unrighteous, we are selfish, and we are nothing but sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So here's the deal. Here's what you need to understand. Our God, the God that gives life, the God that creates us, the God that provides, the God that protects, the God that heals, he is a holy God and he is a just God, and he can have nothing to do with unrighteousness and sin. And because God is holy and because we were born into this sin, there is something that separates us from having a relationship with this life-giving God. It is our sin. It's our sin. It's our sin. It's our unrighteousness. See, here's the deal. According to the law of God, thou shalt not lie. I wonder how many of us, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand. I wonder how many of us have lied. See, can I tell you this? Look at me. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Look. Let me give you some basic theology. God is holy, God is righteous, and God is just. And if we want to live in relationship with him, you know what he requires? Holiness and perfection. That's what he requires. And so let me ask you something. How many of you have lied before? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have stolen something, even if it was a piece of bubble gum when you were a kid? Come on, somebody. How about this one? The Bible says that if we look at lust, we look at someone else with lust in our heart, we have already committed adultery. I guarantee you, everybody in this room has lied, stolen, or looked at someone lustfully. Which that means if we were in a court of justice, the gavel would bang down, and you know what? You and I would be deemed judged guilty. And that one sin separates us from this holy God. You got to understand, and I got to understand, without Christ, we have been judged and we have been deemed sinners and we have been deemed unrighteousness. Our sin separated us from God. But here's the deal. God loves us so much that he sees us beyond our sin. God loves us so much. He created us that he goes, even though they chose another way, and even though they may have denied me, God still wants us back, and he still wants a relationship with us. He still wants a relationship with us. And so can I just tell you what did Jesus do? What did God do so that we could come back into relationship with him? He paid a ransom and he redeemed us back into relationship with him. I want to talk to you a little bit about some basic English right quick. The English language. I know most of you are like Cody, you and Jennifer, like homeschool. Like, what are you going to teach us about the English language, Cody? But I study, that's how I know. And in the English language, there is a prefix called re. And the prefix re means to go back or back to original. It means to do it again. Re means do it again. So like reorganize. How many of you women have reorganized the shoes in your closet? Come on, somebody. Like they were organized and they were right and they got messed up and jacked up, and you took them back again to that natural state to replay. We watch sports, we watch rodeo, and what happens is somebody makes a bronc ride or somebody makes a touchdown catch, and they'll go back and they'll do it again. They'll show you the original thing once again. See, that's what God wants to do. God, we have been deemed sinners. We have been judged by our sin, and now God wants to redeem us. He wants to take us back again to the original state, for the original plan, for the original purposes that he has set out for our lives. God wants to redeem us. God wants to save us. God wants to deliver us. But can I tell you, that doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. There has to be payment for our sins. There has to be payment for our unrighteousness. There has to be payment for our poor choices. Just like nowadays, if you were speeding and you got pulled over for a speeding ticket, you would have to go to court and there would have to be fines that are paid for you to be released from that. Something has to pay for mine and your sins. And you know what? We couldn't pay for it ourselves. You can't get enough money. You can't come to church enough. You can't quote scripture enough. You can't teach enough Bible study. We couldn't work our way back to God. And so in our weakness, God said, I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And if they can't pay, I'm going to step in and pay for them. I'm going to ransom them and redeem them and restore them back so that we can have relationship once again. It's a free gift. It's what God does. There had to be a ransom paid. Ransom. It's the price demanded for release. So here's the question. What is the payment? We've already understood today that you and I, within ourselves, were deemed sinners. We're judged as unrighteous. We're deemed sinful. What could be paid? What's the payment for our sins? I want us to go back for a moment and look at the Old Testament. I want us to look at the Levitical law. We need to understand. I understand now we're under grace, and I understand now it's free. But you and I need to go back, and we need to know our history, and we need to know the Old Testament, and we need to know that it's always not been the way that it is right now, and it's not always been this easy. We need to go back and understand how far God has brought us, and we need to understand we're not under the old covenant, but we're under the new covenant and the blood of Jesus Christ. The old covenant, Leviticus chapter 17, what could be paid? What was the payment for our sin? Leviticus 17, 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I mean, we couldn't live and function and be without the blood, without blood pumping through our bodies. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement, that makes payment by the life. So in the Old Testament, here's what you need to understand. Everybody listening, let me hear you say a good amen. In the Old Testament, unholy people were separated from God. There was this place, this tent of meeting, they called it. And in the very back room of this tent of meeting, there was the holy place. It was called the Holies of Holies. It's where God himself dwelt. No one could go into the presence of God because everyone was unholy. Only one person could go one time a year. It was the great high priest. And the high priest better have his stuff together, and he better do it absolutely perfectly, because if he didn't do it perfect, God would strike him down. Can I tell you what they did? They tied a rope around the high priest's leg. And so that just in case if the high priest got it wrong and God struck him down, they would pull him out because they didn't won't have to go in after him. Perfection is what God requires from you and I, holiness. And once a year, they would take goats, and they would take calves, and they would take sheep, and they would sacrifice them. They would cut their throat. They would catch the blood, and the high priest once a year would go into the holies of holies and pour the blood out on the mercy seat to offer up to payment for all of the sins of all of the people for the previous year. Goats and bloods and boils. Once a year, the high priest would do that. Once a year. That was the Old Testament. But can I tell you something about the New Testament? Can I tell you something about the New Covenant? Hebrews 9, chapter 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. But when Christ appeared as the ultimate high priest, when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things that have come, then through a greater and more perfect way, not with a tent that was made by human hands, Christ entered into the holy place, not by the means of the blood of goats or calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption for you and I. Do you see what Jesus did in the Old Testament? It had to be a high priest. He had to do it once a year with the blood of goats and bulls. But when Jesus came, God said, I'm tired of this religious thing. I'm tired of this one guy having to come into my presence. And he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus didn't go in by the blood of goats and bulls. He went in by his own blood. And when the blood of Jesus Christ was spilled on the mercy seat, it was offered up to God. That's when your and my sin was paid once and for all throughout the rest of eternity, securing us an eternal place in heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ ransomed, paid it all. The blood of Jesus paid it all. The blood of Jesus paid it all. A-L-L, all. How many of you have went and paid an invoice here in recent days and they had this little red stamp and you paid it, you wrote them a check, you swiped your debit card, whatever you do, and then they stamped it in red letters. It said, paid in full. Can I tell you, I talk to people on a weekly basis that can't get over the sins of their past. I talk to people on a weekly basis, and the enemy has brought condemnation and guilt and unworthiness, and they've labeled themselves as divorcee. They've labeled themselves as someone who's had an abortion. They label themselves as someone who has never made it through. I'm going to tell you something. Your sins in the past and my sins in the past have been paid in full. God has already forgotten them. Jesus has already paid for it, and you need to make up in your mind, it's not going to label me or dictate me. What's going to label me or dictate take me moving forward is the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for my redemption. When you and I pray for people all the time. Can I be real with y'all? When you and I bring up the sins of our past, when you and I bring up the mistakes and the sins of others that we know are Christians, when we bring up the mistakes of the past, we are taking away from the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all. It is time that we stop. It's time that we trust that there is power in the blood, and where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. It's time that we understand that my past is paid in full. The blood of Jesus, the cleansing crimson blood of Jesus Christ, has forgiven me. It's been forgotten. Jesus took it away from me, paid for it all, throwed it in the sea of forgiveness, and he put up a sign and said, no fishing. Stop fishing in the past. It's covered in the blood. It's covered in the blood. God redeemed us. Let me tell you now. We were born, created by God. Everybody looking at me. Look. Created by God for God's purposes. Selfishness and sin came in. How many know a tree is known by its fruit? And because we were sinful, we were deemed and judged sinful. We were deemed and judged. But God said, I don't want to leave you there. I'm going to send my son Jesus to shed the blood, to ransom you, to pay. And now we have been redeemed. Remember the English language? Re, brought back again, brought back anew. We were sinners. We've been redeemed by the blood. We've been brought back, and now we are no longer sinners. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're not judged by our mistakes. We're not judged by what we did, but we're judged by what Jesus did. We're judged by the blood of the Lamb. We have been redeemed and rejudged as children of God. Redeemed. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. I want to tell you something right quick. We don't preach this enough in the church, I don't think. Because it matters how you view life, and it matters how you view yourself, and it matters how you view your Savior. I know lots of Christians, and I love you, but you wake up every day and you go, well, we're just sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. You know, well, everybody makes mistakes. Well, you know, I'm just going to keep doing my best. Well, you know what? That's okay, and I get it, and I understand. But there needs to be a change in your mind. There needs to be a change in your attitude. How about, wonder what would happen? Because how many know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if you think you're a sinner, and if you think you're unworthy, and if you think you're going to make mistakes, you're going to make mistakes. What if you and I woke up every day and said, I have been redeemed. I am not labeled by what my ex-spouse says. I'm not labeled by what the government says. I'm labeled by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now I am the righteousness of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What if we woke up every day and proclaimed who we really were according to the Word of God? Because you and I are made the righteousness of God. Righteous. You're right. You're right with God. You're righteous. You're righteous. You're righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Jesus, we have become the righteousness of God. In Jesus, we have become the righteousness of God. Of God. Some of you ain't never been called right a day in your life. But the Word of God says, in Jesus, Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made to be sinners, so by one man's obedience, that one man is Jesus, God incarnated, God who took upon flesh, but by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. I'm the righteousness of God. Do me a favor, turn to the person on your right and tell them, say, hey, I am the righteousness of God. No. You got to say it like you mean it. You got to believe it. I am the righteousness of God. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, hey, you're the righteousness of God. Upon faith in Christ, listen to me, upon faith in Christ, we are ransomed, redeemed, and restored in the image of Almighty God. We become children of God. We become new. We become born again. Which would point to the next thing we're going to discuss is this, forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. If we've been redeemed, we have been forgiven. If we have been ransomed, we're paid in full. We have been forgiven. We've become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Let me give you once again an Old Testament example, Leviticus 16:30. Leviticus 16:30, for on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord of all your sins. That one day when the high priest went in, you were clean. You were made clean. But what's the New Testament? Let me remind you again, Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, who offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. By the blood of Jesus, we've been forgiven. When God looks at you, Ricky, and I know some stories on you, and Billy Lamb, and Tina Lamb, and Horn, and Parmley, come on somebody. I know some stories on you, face shaking. And I could tell some stories on you. And when I look at you, I'm like, let me see what I... When God looks at you, you could tell stories on me and I could tell stories on you. But when God looks at you and when God looks at me, he goes, I can't tell no stories because all that is forgotten, paid in full, and it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And they're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have been forgiven. The forgiven. You remember the sin that you did that made you feel unworthy? You remember the sin that you committed? You know that one? Come on, let's just get real and let's get down and dirty. You know the one that kept you up at night and the one that wore you out and the one that everybody labeled you over? It's done. You're forgiven of that thing. I'm forgiven of that thing. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. Can I say something right there? If we confess our sins. You know what, that seems to be easy, just confess I'm a sinner. But can I tell you, it's harder for a lot of people to confess they're sinners. You know why? Because we're so full of pride and self-righteousness. We just can't humble ourselves and lower ourselves to say I'm a sinner. Well, can I tell you what? When we get to a place where we swallow our pride and swallow our own unrighteousness and swallow our family name and we go, without you, I'm nothing. I am a sinful person. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess, listen to me, when we confess, that doesn't mean you have to go to the little box. It doesn't mean you have to confess to the priest, to the dude wearing the clothes. It doesn't mean you need to confess to me. We have a high priest, a new high priest. His name is Jesus. We can confess our faults to Jesus, and Jesus is the one that forgives us of our sins. So, if we're truly forgiven, if we're redeemed, redeemed, made again holy, made again the righteousness of God, we are forgiven and we're changed. Here's the tough part. All of that's easy. All of that's free. Here's where you and I have a responsibility to play. Matthew 6:14-15. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive others of their sins, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, neither will your Father forgive your sins. See, there's a cross. You've seen the cross. Can I hear a good amen? The cross. The cross is this. The cross is up and down. The cross means that the first thing that has to happen is we have to be reconciled and we have to have our relationship right with God. And God forgives us and it gives us access to God the Father. But then we live in this world and we live around people. And then here's this part of the cross, which means when we get this part right, then we have to get this part right in order to give God the glory. And if God's going to forgive us, then we have to forgive other people. And I know that's tough. Can I hear a good amen? It's tough because some of you are already in your mind going, well, wait a minute, Cody, let's stop right there. I'm done. I was with you up until this point. But Cody, you don't know what those people did to me. And you don't know what those people said to me. And you don't know what my ex-spouse did. And you don't know how my family mistreated me. And you don't know, Cody. I don't know, but God does know. I don't know, and God does know. And you know what this? The Bible says freely we have received, freely we must give to others. We didn't earn our redemption. We didn't earn our forgiveness. It was a free gift called grace from God the Father to people like you and I. And if we have been freely forgiven, we must move to a place where we can freely forgive others. It's tough. It's tough. Remember the Lord's Prayer? And they learned that in church growing up. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive others. Man, I know it's so tough. It's so strong. I would ask you something here today if you understand redemption. If you understand forgiveness, I would say to you today, is there someone in your life that you need to forgive and release? To release and let it go. See, here's what we do. We get this thing and somebody does us wrong and, boy, we get in our heart and, by God, we're hanging on to it and we're like, them son of a bucks don't deserve to be forgiven. Come on, somebody. Well, guess what? You don't deserve to be forgiven by God either, nor do I. But God did it anyway, and we get this in our heart, and we go, I'm not going to forgive that guy. You just don't. I'm not going to forgive that girl. You know, and so we go so hard, we hang on to it, and you know what it does? It causes your heart to be hard, and it causes bitterness to enter into your life, and it affects your relationship with the Heavenly Father. And we think if we hang on to it, we think if we forgive them and release them, that we're saying it's okay what they did. And we think if we forgive them and release them, that we're agreeing with that there's no problem. No. When we release them and forgive them, we're living a life that glorifies and honors God. And when we release them, it's taking the burden out of our life. Because so many times, unforgiveness will shackle us. Can I get a witness? Shackle us and hold us down, and we have no freedom at all. You know what we think sometimes? We think if we're so mad at them, we think, by God, I'm just going to stay mad at them and I ain't forgiving them, and we think that it's hurting them. Can I tell you, they could care less. You are not hurting them. You are only hurting yourself. Harboring unforgiveness and expecting it to hurt the one that offended you is like eating rat bait and expecting the rat to die. Come on, somebody. Freely we've received, freely we must give forgiveness. And I know that that is so hard. It's hard to do, but it's harder to live with bitterness the rest of your life. Conrad, y'all guys, come help me close this. I say this to you in closing, if you would, while the worship team comes, would you stand on your feet and just redeemed. In Christ, we have redemption. Redeemed. Redeemed. Deemed a loser, deemed a failure, deemed a sinner, deemed a mess, but redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God, children of God, living according to God's purposes, ready to receive the blessed life God has for us. Redeemed. If you can understand that, look at me. You can stand in here and sing this song. You are worthy of it all. Whether you say yes or whether you say no, you're worthy of it all. If my loved ones die, if things don't go my way, if I lose my fortune and my health goes away, God, you are worthy of it all, because my spirit, the eternal part of me, has been redeemed by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and my eternal destination has been secured. God, you're worthy of it all. I may have to suffer through a few years down here on earth, but I'm going to live in eternity in heaven because I've been redeemed. You change that perspective, it changes everything. You change the perspective of, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not Cody. A lot of people say, oh, Cody, I've been preaching 23 years and people still say, I ain't coming to church over here. I remember how he used to be. Well, you may remember, but God don't remember, because I've been washed in the blood. I'm the righteousness of God. I may not look like it to you. I don't care what I look like to you. I don't care what I look like to God. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm his chosen instrument. I'm anointed with the Spirit of God. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a friend. I'm a pastor. I'm a leader. I'm a world changer because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I wake up every day and I'm not worried about how I'm going to screw up. I'm not focused on the mistakes that I can make. I'm focused on the opportunities that God has gone before me. I'm focused on how I can be salt and how I can be light. I am focused on doing the will of God. If we can change that perspective, it will change everything in your life. Redeemed, ransomed, restored, forgiven. I'm made new. Now we got to release others. Is there someone you need to release? Someone you need to give forgiveness to? It's between you and the Lord. It's so hard, but so valuable and so worthy. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for this moment, for this time, for this church, for this opportunity, for everybody that's here today. Lord, I pray you challenge us, speak to us, Holy Spirit. Let us leave here understanding redemption a little deeper. Let us leave here with a little bit more of gratitude in our hearts, and let us leave here with courage and boldness to do what we have to do in order to forgive and release others, so that it will bring glory to your name and it will live a life of obedience to you. Speak to us and challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's close with a song of worship.